We'd like to thank our friends at PwC for their support, partnership, and collaboration in making Retail Gets Real. Learn more about how PwC helps retailers at pwc.com.
You're listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by the National Retail Federation. Join us for a look inside the world's largest and most interesting industry. And now your host, Bill Thorne.
Welcome to Retail Gets Real, where we talk about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. I'm Bill Thorne from the National Retail Federation, and today I am joined by my co-host, Steve Barr. Hello, Steve.
Hello, Bill.
Steve is the head of consumer markets. He's the leader at PwC. He's also a member of the National Retail Federation Foundation Board. It's always good to have you, Steve.
And always good to be here.
And we're very, very fortunate today as well that we have Tina Sharkey, who's the CEO and co-founder of Brandless, joining us for this podcast. Welcome, Tina.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So, Tina, tell us, Brandless, what is it?
Well, firstly, brandless.com, the only way you can really engage with Brandless products is to go to our website. So for all the listeners out there, brandless.com, we're also on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and all those places. But at its core, Brandless is trying to reimagine modern consumption. And we're starting with the things that people reach for every day. And we believe deep in our souls that better doesn't really need to cost more. And so we started with an array of everyday essentials, from food to stationery to beauty to personal care to plates to knives, etc. Everything has the filter of what we call better for you. For example, in our food, it's all non-GMO and organic. In our toilet and facial tissue, it's tree-free, made with bamboo grasses and sugar cane. And across everything that we do, everything that we sell is $3. Actually, some are two for three and some are three for three,
organic,
to be clear.
Organic for $3.
Organic, non-GMO for $3.
That's unheard of. I mean, well, that's...
You heard it here.
Well, and everybody else has heard about it now, and that's pretty phenomenal. What was the impetus behind Brandless? I mean, was it building a community? Was it creating something that nobody else really was out there doing?
You know, it's a great question. It all starts with, you know, extraordinary people. And so my co-founder, Ida Loeffler, and I decided that the concept of price and value having a relationship was like completely yesterday's news, and that we were watching the massive transformation of the consumer core and saying, wait a second, 77% of millennials are reported as saying they don't want to use the products that their parents use. They don't want to use the products they grew up with. We also were looking at sort of the value statement of Americans who were saying that they want companies to represent their values. And then we looked at the concept of household brands, just writ large. 90 out of the top 100 household brands last year in the US were in decline. So when you actually triangulate the idea that the new head of households, the millennial audience, doesn't want to buy the products they grew up with, that Americans writ large doesn't care of their age, want companies to represent their values, and that 90% of the household good brands were in decline last year, you say, wait a second, this is like a seismic shift.
Right.
Plus, everyone is walking around with the store in their back pocket. So the idea that you can actually create a direct-to-consumer relationship, cutting out all the inefficiencies of the supply chain by going direct and working with manufacturers to create the products that you want, putting them into our distribution centers, and then selling them to people at fair prices, no matter what state they live in, how much debt or no debt they have on their credit cards, whether how they vote, like all of the cohorting and segregating that we've been doing that's technology enabled, just becomes a very unfair and broken system. And so we said, you know what? We're democratizing access to goodness, starting with the things you reach for every day. And we wanted to be able to prove that. So we hired an extraordinary team of product development and merchandising people. We took our skill set and our sandboxes of having, I've spent the last 20 years building scaled global communities at scale for commerce, for media. I've been an investor. Ido is a great product development person, has built a bunch of CPG companies, but never direct to consumer. And then we hired extraordinary merchants to develop these sort of what we call just what matters philosophy. So our beauty and personal care is an example. they're not organic. But what they are is they're rid of the 400 ingredients you kind of don't want in those products. So whether it's phthalates or sulfates, or we don't test on animals, et cetera. When it comes to our toilet tissue, as I shared with you, that's tree-free. When it comes to our paper, that's FSA certified. When it comes to our paper goods, like paper plates, paper bowls, those are compostable. When it comes to our food, it's 100% non-GMO, mostly organic, but we sort of apply the philosophy based on the actual food SKU, et cetera. And, you know, we're just getting started. We just had our first birthday a couple of days ago.
That's amazing.
Well, happy birthday.
Yeah, thank
happy
birthday. You.
So from my aspect, the question would be, is Brandless a brand? And I think from where I sit, it feels like it is, but one that's purpose-led, values-driven. Just curious to get your reaction about that brand question.
Yeah, I love that question. It's one of my favorites because my answer, and I gave this answer the first time I was asked it, and it's sort of been codified, I guess, which is that we are unapologetically a brand. But here's the difference. We're redefining what it means to be one. We are one that is our number one value as a brand is scaling kindness. We're trying to reinvent a broken system. So it's not about generic or anti-brand or any of those things. It's actually about this idea that we're eliminating the false narrative. So in the old days, the narrative, I mean, the Jolly Green Giant, honestly, like, what does he know about vegetables? And Mr. Whipple, like, is he a specialist in toilet paper? You know, and Madge.
I'm glad you're using these examples. Madge, Mr. Whipple, yeah. The Jolly Green Giant. I certainly get that. I don't know.
No, but the point is, well, okay, so if we're not using that, what about the like that beautiful woman at sunset in white cotton yoga pants on a white beach on a white horse? Like, does she have her period? I mean, come on.
Right.
I don't know. Like, I haven't asked her, but like the point is that with a billion modes of communication and everybody owning their own narrative, whether it's on Instagram, whether it's on Facebook, whether it's on Twitter, whether it's on Snapchat, whether it's on their blog, wanting to share their story. When we say we put out the white space, what we actually mean is it's the fill in the blank space because applesauce is applesauce. So Mott's and Del Monte don't own applesauce. I mean, maybe applesauce doesn't even want to be a toddler snack. Do you think anybody ever asked applesauce? I mean, so toothpaste, like it works for breath, not for Crest. And so this idea that you can actually reduce things back to the source of what they are. And then, you know, for vegans like you and for moms like me who are shopping for very specific attributes in terms of how I shop, I shouldn't have to pick up, turn around, upside down and bring like a Wikipedia to the grocery store to figure out what's inside. So we've created a system sort of, I guess, out of my technology roots of creating a UI and UX for all of our packaging. So no matter what you buy at Brandless, whether it is tree-free toilet paper or, you know, alcohol-free peppermint oil-infused mouthwash or organic all-purpose flour or, you know, jalapeno cheddar, quinoa, and corn puffs, everything has the same packaging system. It says what it is, and it gives you the top 3 to 5 attributes about that product. If it's non-GMO, if it's vegan, if it's, you know, no sugar added, no preservatives, et cetera. The rest is on the back. And then you tell us your story. Like, we don't want to tell you like how coffee makes you feel in the morning. It might make you feel productive. It might make you feel energized. But, you know, that's not our narrative. What we will tell you is that it's organic. It is sourced with fair trade, and it's, you know, medium roast or dark roast. But then you tell us your story about how you use it. And so that interaction with the community puts truth, trust, and transparency into the center of what we're doing. And that's a critical piece of Brandless to understand that, back to your question, are we anti-brand? What does it mean to be a brand? A brand is not what the three of us or our agency or some consultant decides. A brand today, honestly, is what a friend tells a friend. And so architecting that narrative so that you can listen more than speak and live more and brand less is sort of the underbelly of everything that we're trying to
do. Well, you said two interesting words or two phrases I'd love to unpack. One, you mentioned kindness. And I know you do some extraordinary work with Feeding America. Tell us a little bit more about that, and then I'll set up the other one so you can just think about it.
No worries.
And that is, but this sort of notion of trust and transparency, I'd love to talk about why that's so important to you and your consumer.
Yeah, no, I love them both. So, you know, at the end of the day, in spite of your shock and awe around the $3 price point, the truth is that not everybody has $3. And the truth is that 41 million people go hungry in this country every single day, and that's just unacceptable. And so if you're going to do better everything for everyone, then you really need to mean it. So as a company that's built for profit and for purpose, as a company that's built to think about the doing that matters and the tangible acts of kindness that matter, not the big events. I mean, Giving Tuesday is fine, but what about Monday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday? What about the 364 days that aren't Giving Tuesday? How do you engage a community in a movement that's bigger than anything that you sell? So when people check out at Brandless, you know, there's something priceless that we underwrite in their cart. And that's a meal that we have partnered with Feeding America, the country's largest hunger relief organization that has the largest network of food banks and is engaged at the community level on a national scale to infuse that sort of walk the walk. And if you're a member of Brandless, which you can join at Be More, it's $36 a year and you get free shipping all the time, but you also get twice the give. So when you check out as a Be More member, you get 10 meals donated in your honor when you join and 2 every time you check out. So at our first anniversary, which was on 7-Eleven and, of 2018, we announced that we gave away 1.6 million meals. And we're just getting started.
Well, thank you. For full disclosure, I'm a board member of Feeding America, and I'm just very grateful for your good work and contributions. So let's then pivot to the idea of sort of radical trust and transparency and why that's so important to you.
Yeah, because I think that, you know, here at Brandless, we put people first. And so as I say to my team, that doesn't always mean you, but sometimes it does. It means the people that matter most for what it is that we're doing at any particular time. So if it's the community we're interacting with on Facebook or on Instagram, we're in conversation with them. Transparency is like real people having real conversations. The truth part, let's go back to starting with the packaging. So applesauce is applesauce, right? So we're not making anything up. It is what it is. And then the attributes that are in that white box, those are the most important attributes. So, you know, we did so many, I don't even know how many hours, hundreds of hours watching people shop at shelf and that picking up the box, putting it down. Let's decide that, oh, you know what? My doctor, my nutritionist, whatever decided that I needed to be gluten-free because I had allergies, or I decided to go vegan because that's my choice. So how do you find that? How do you source all that? So truth, trust, and transparency starts with the front of the pack. And the transparency, like if in our perfect world, if we could literally make this work, which we can't, all of our labels would be clear so that you could see the product inside. That doesn't always really work or scale. So we take the color that's on it. People say, oh, Brandless is so colorful. All of those colors are not picked because they're a beautiful rainbow assortment or because it's a design aesthetic. Those colors are keying off of either the flavor palette or the ingredient palette of that product. And so the second piece is a visual piece. First, it starts with the label and the attributes. The second is the label, the color behind it, which is meant to feel like transparency. And trust means that we're in direct conversation. So our community social media managers and our customer service managers like are in it together with our community, as am I, as is everyone in the company. Every day, every Brandless employee writes a thank you note to a customer every single day. And if you don't have time to do that, then you probably shouldn't work at Brandless. Because if you're going to be in a direct relationship, D2C is not some omni-channel strategy. D2C means direct to consumer. And the word consumer doesn't even work for me. They're people. So if you're going to be in a direct relationship with people and you're a person, then act like a good human. Scale kindness. See people matter. And that conversation scales. And that conversation becomes something bigger than any product that we sell. It's at the very fundamental roots of who we are as an organization. And when things go well, we celebrate it. When things are challenging, we talk about it. So, you know, it's never going to be perfect ever. Perfect is the enemy of we're scaling and we're trying. And so the key is staying connected And being real with the people that we serve, whether that's via email, whether that's being, you know, responding to public events. So, you know, you'll all remember the horrible fires that were in, you know, Northern and Southern California in 2017, or the horrible hurricanes that hit, Florida and Texas and Puerto Rico. As a very small organization at the time, we were only a few months old. We didn't have like the pallets that we could put on helicopters and like drop them into these regions the way maybe the Red Cross or Feeding America or other organizations did. But we said, you know what? Like, we need to act. And so we deployed at that time a code. And we said, if you're sending packages to Florida or Texas, like free shipping, if that's the zip code. And we said, if you're sending packages to, you know, Northern or Southern California, like free shipping. And with every one of those packages, we called Feeding America and we said, look, we want to reroute. I mean, we don't want to reroute the daily hunger challenge, because the people who are living with hunger every day are still living with hunger every day. But these communities are in crisis. So we're going to give 10 meals, but we want them to be for the disaster release as opposed to just the daily hunger programs. And we don't ship to Puerto Rico, so we can't actually do that. But we also want to make sure Puerto Rico is included in that disaster relief. And so it's like, just act, be truthful, be transparent, you know, do what you can, because small tangible acts of kindness hopefully build the muscles that we're trying to inspire others to do in their own communities. So, you know, on Valentine's Day, which is February, of course, but it's 28 days that whole month. So we said, you know what, this is 28 days of kindness, like spread the love. And like, we asked our community members, like, what would you do just to be kind? And then we took all those ideas, we put them back into our social channels, and then we started to scale them. So it's not just about promotion. It's not just about the give. It's about like real people and having them be part of the co-creation of what it means to be brandless and what it means to live more and brandless. It's just those voices are the voices we want to hear when we get it right, when we get it wrong, or when we try and do it together. And so that's the most important thing about the two-way conversation.
You know, everybody talks about community, but you really live community. I mean, that is pretty impressive. Question on the sourcing. Do you find them or do they find you?
I love that question, because when we started the company, you guys will appreciate this, because we were sort of disrupting so many different things, we said, oh my God, like we need to be super stealth until we're like ready to come out, because people want to understand what we're doing unless they see the whole thing. So our first name, which was always a code name, was Dhosi, D-H-O-S-I. And we had business cards, we had a website, we had LinkedIn, all under the name of Dhosi. And our merchant team just did an extraordinary job of going to, you know, partners and saying, hey, we're this startup company, Dhosi, whatever. And they signed just an incredible array of starting manufacturers, but they had to give the backstory and all of that. Then we came out as brandless and they were like, oh, you know, this is like even cooler. And then more came on. I think it was about, I don't know, sometime in the spring of 2018 when we had our first vendor meetup, meaning we invited a summit of people to come to our offices in Minneapolis. Do you know that we had 70 people that got on planes and flew?
Wow.
Those people who like didn't know who we were only maybe 18 months before. And so they're such an extraordinary part of our community. And everyone, the people who pack our boxes should be able to afford the things that they're packing. The people who make our stuff should be able to spread the goodness to the people that they can spread it to. So we think about community in a very sort of dimensional way. It's not just the people who buy our products, because everyone deserves better. And so if you're going to walk that walk, you have to really think about what does every interaction mean and how do you build for profit and for purpose? Because people get that if you can sort of break it down and support the partnerships around that.
Yeah. Who is the brandless customer? I mean, when you look at the demographics of the folks that are using brandless, what are you seeing that kind of stands out?
So it's a great question, because, you know, at first we know who our muses are, right? Our muses are what we call the FTHOHs, the first time head of households, right? Because they're the people that for the first time are filling their pantries and filling their cabinets and they're having children and they're reimagining all the things that they want. But our customers are, we ship to 48 states every day. And you'd be surprised, like not surprisingly, the biggest states, New York, you know, the coastal states where all the population density is, that is our biggest, you know, where our most of our customers are. But the fastest growing states, and I happen to have some slides here, so I'm going to give you like the latest on this. They're the states that nobody can reach. They're the states right in the middle. And it's kind of remarkable because they are, you know, South Dakota, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Wisconsin, New Hampshire, Nebraska, Indiana, Alabama, West Virginia, Florida, Ohio. So yes, the biggest are the ones where the coastal density is, but the center, those states didn't have access to this stuff before, didn't know about this before, but they know about, you know, organic and non-GMO. They just weren't invited to the party.
Right.
And so I would say that it's definitely the whole country. And because it's a lot of its consumables, these are things that people are reaching for every day. So these aren't ones and dones, right?
Right.
And the idea that people can actually, you know, afford the things that they want for them, friends and their family. So I would say, you know, is a huge part of the demographic. And it kind of breaks down into a bunch of different quadrants. But I'd say the centerpiece is that, you know, millennial mom, millennial family, because they are, you know, buying and consuming the most. But when we just dropped our beauty line and our personal care line with all these incredible, you know, facial toners and night creams and grapefruit scrubs that are all, you know, paraffin free and sulfate free, and they're all $3, we saw a big uptake in sort of a younger millennial who wanted those products but may not be stocking their pantries every day.
Right.
So it really, like, you know, we're starting to see it segment on a product basis, but the truth is that there's nothing in the brandless assortment that you don't use some version of.
Right.
Whether it's an organic oregano or an organic tomato and basil sauce or some of our gluten-free cookies or our vegan snacks. So, and our $3 knives are like seriously off the hook. Epicurious has already reviewed them 3 times and they just can't believe it because they're incredible.
I think that, you know, one of the things, not only just the ability or the availability of somebody in middle America to actually get these products. Again, keep going back to the price point. I mean, they can get them, but they're going to pay premium dollars for them. They want to live healthy, but at the same time, they have a budget. And so making that kind of an offering where they can, you know, they can afford it and they can enjoy that lifestyle, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, people shouldn't have to choose between what they want and what they can afford.
Right.
That's just like, that's a very old idea. And so, you know, if you say to yourself at the most meta level, like, what can I do as an entrepreneur? What can I do as a social entrepreneur? What can I do to actually have the kind of impact? People shouldn't have to choose. And so we feel like we can flex our muscle in this way to really create a system, a structure, a platform that scales. We were very intentional not to launch any particular category, but launching sort of what I would call a horizontal platform, because we did foods and snacks and condiments and, you know, coffee and teas and health and beauty and, you know, paper and supplies and knives and bowls, so that people didn't think about us as one particular vertical. Because what you're going to see from Brandless over the coming months and years is going to be the same philosophy around better not costing more and taking a lot of the cost out of very high quality at extreme value. So we're just getting started.
So Bill, if we could just pivot to, we've heard a lot about Brandless, but I'm really taken about you and how you're motivated by purpose. Where did that come from in your life?
That's a great question. Well, firstly, I'm a mom. And so, you know, that is, you know, role modeling for my children is something that I believe very deeply in. And, you know, I'm sort of the school that, you know, I'm put on this earth not to teach my children, but to teach my children's children. And so hopefully the muscle memory, you know, is something that scales for them and for our communities. And I'd say that we need to be that change. Like, you know, if not now, when? And if not us, who? And this idea that somebody else is going to fix it, I don't know that I can fix Washington. I don't know that I would even want to try, no matter who was in the White House. I know that really affecting people where they live, trying to go right to the source of community, which is something that I've built my whole life, and trying to sort of see people for who they are, not for all of the labels that we put upon them is something that's just in my DNA and system. So I thought, why not apply that, apply my whole self with my partner who also sees the world that way, and do something that feels like the time has come.
Thank you. Awesome.
So I'm getting the high sign. We have one last thing, Tina, and this has been absolutely fantastic. I think that our listeners are really going to get a lot out of this episode, and I'm hoping that they all get engaged with Brandless, and that they take to heart what you're talking about, which is, you know, giving back in a pretty sizable way. But this segment of the program is called Rapid Fire.
Woohoo, let's go.
One of our favorite segments on Retail Gets Real is Rapid Fire, thanks to our sponsor, PwC. So we're going to ask you some questions. First thing that comes to mind, Steve, kick us off.
Do you have a favorite podcast?
Favorite podcast. That's hard to choose. There's one I love NPR. I love TED Talks. And sometimes I can't always watch them. So sometimes I listen to them. But This Is How I Built It, or some of TED Talks that I'm just discovering something. I love kind of anything NPR serves up. Those are all like on my short list.
How do you unwind after a busy day at work?
Another good question. As a mom, you know, I context shift. So when I'm at work, like I'm very focused on my role as a leader, as a builder, as a partner, as a collaborator. When I'm at home, I'm cooking and I'm walking the dog and I'm making sure Tessa, our Tibetan Terrier, has her meds, and I'm, you know, making sure my boys are doing their homework and moving it all along, doing the laundry, the whole thing. So I'd say that not so much as unwinding, because when I get home, a whole nother day starts, a whole nother role. It's much more about the context shifting and being present. Yeah. So my relaxation is when I feel like I can be really present where I am. And that's actually relaxing to me, because then I feel like I can explore that.
Right.
As a mom, or my son's going to college now, so we're like busy on like, you know, scanning things at different stores and getting, you know, all of his forms filled out. And so that ability to just be super present for him, I find really relaxing.
That's
because
great.
It allows me to be who I am, which is like I'm his mom first.
Right.
How about your favorite Brandless product?
My favorite, you know, that changes all the time because I am a mom, because I cook a lot. I'd say, you know, our extra virgin olive oil spray is amazing, because I love not just the quality of the product and the oil, but I love the mechanics. Like that spray has a nice spread, so that's a great one. I love our knives. Our shampoo and conditioner is all sulfate and phthalate free, and we just launched this great grapefruit scrub that I used in the shower this morning, and that was great. So I found that, you know, what I love is the range of things that we have, and it's always changing, but don't ask me to pick a child.
What's your ideal vacation?
I think my ideal vacation, I'm not a big beach person, so I can't really sit.
Doesn't surprise
yeah.
me. For some reason, that just doesn't surprise
but
me.
But I'm definitely like a closet, or maybe not closet, but definitely like a cultural anthropologist. I love like meeting people from other cultures and countries. And, you know, my children and I have done a bunch of community service trips, whether Charlie and I went to Africa with the WE organization, and Jacob, Charlie and I went to the Amazon in Ecuador, and we went and worked with communities down there. And then also being able to see the country and see the region. But then I also love, you know, we had this incredible trip to Japan during what's called cherry blossom season, which was just amazing, because I'm a very visual person and I love other cultures. And I love sensory experiences. So our whole family took a trip with my sisters and my nephews and my niece and our friends to Morocco, and we did like food tours and got to taste. I like to really get into the culture and other people. I'm a student of people and culture.
Well, you just said something. If you want to see really good cherry blossoms, go to Japan. Don't come to D.C. That's the most miserable time for D.C. residents all year. Don't come to D.C. Go to Japan. Now, if people want to learn more about Brandless, where do they go, Tina?
I would love for people to come to brandless.com because that's probably the most comprehensive. And also click on our blog link because we have a blog called Brandless Life. And that's where we create recipes and videos and DIY hacks around all the different things you can do, many of which are inspired by our community. I would also follow us on Facebook and at Brandless Life and on Instagram at Brandless Life because we post all of our content there as well. And join the conversation and just come be part of our movement. You know, we love all awesome strangers. They start out that way, but if you assume best intentions, hopefully they become friends.
Well, Tina Sharkey, the CEO and co-founder of Brandless, thank you so much for being here. Very inspiring.
My pleasure.
And Steve, will you come back and do this again sometime?
I will. It's my pleasure.
You're great. Thank you so much. And thank you all out there for listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. We're going to post more information about the topics we discussed today on our website, retailgetsreal.com, where you can also find links to other episodes. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by NRF. For more information about the National Retail Federation, visit us online at nrf.com.